easy listening Saturday morning here at Rosie on the House. Music courtesy of Gary D.
You connected that. I was going to say, you connected that patio pal from Phoenix Manufacturing yesterday at the office. And I walked under the carport. I could not believe how cool it was.
we're going to be able to put it to a good test here this next week, aren't we?
Can't wait.
Oh, man. What a great concept. All right, let's get back to the phones. Let's see if we can bring Rusty into the conversation. We've got Tony and Keith on hold and an open line. If you'd like to sneak in, now's your chance. 1-888-767-4348. Good morning, Rusty.
Morning, guys. Hey, I was listening to your APS spiel there, and I was looking at my bill here. 898 kilowatts for the 30 days. 138.74 was what the bill is. So that's 15.44 cents per watt on the SaberMax Choice. So I've got a 3,300 square foot house with a 40,000 gallon pool, and I'm only running about, I think it's 2,000 watts of solar right now.
I was going to say,
so
I was going to say,
we're getting ready to add another 12,000 watts of solar that we're installing ourselves.
Okay.
But my first question is, how do I lower my bill? And then also my second question was, is I've got a Sleck 9100 SXT dual tank, 1,100 grain soft water unit, and our water is still just garbage. I mean, our sinks are starting to rust, and we've only been there since June. It's well water.
Where are you, Rusty?
Buckeye.
Okay. Well, for the water, I'm going to tell you to call All About Water and have them do an analysis of what your softener is or isn't doing. All About Water is the equipment we like to use. It solved problems for us on a well up in the White Mountains. You can find them at rosieonthehouse.com, where you can also find Water Treatment Technologies, two just excellent water specialists that could get dialed down to the specific problem you have. Now, when you told me you were consuming 800 kilowatt a month and your bill was $115 for 15 cents, I thought, well, he's in an apartment that's not very efficient. But then you told me you were in a 3,000 square foot home, and immediately I knew you had solar. You're doing about as good a management of your power as you can, and the fact that you're getting ready to upgrade the panels, you know, for the size home you're in, the fact you're only consuming 800, that's probably about ready to go down with the online addition of the new panels. I think in a 3,000 square foot home, a $100 bill, regardless of what you're paying per kilowatt, is going to be about as good as you can get. So we appreciate the call. You're doing fine. When I say people can get to 10 or 11 cents in the new plan with APS, it's non-solar assisted, but it is taking advantage of the off-peak consumption. You must change the way you buy power. Solar lets you just normalize it and ignore it. And it doesn't ignore it. You still manage your demand, but it lets you ignore it to a much higher degree. So congratulations. 3,000 square feet with a 40,000-gallon swimming pool with a bill of $115. I think you're doing pretty good. Let's go to Tony, who wants to talk about SRP. That's always a good question. Tony, good morning, and welcome to Rosie on the House.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet, man.
So I'm fairly new to the Valley, and okay, I'm not used to the different options we have with our SRP as far as price ranges.
Right.
Or price options. I got a text from SRP saying that summer time of use started in May.
May. Right.
Could you tell me if that would be my best option?
Yes. If you're willing to shift your consumption to off-peak, it is absolutely your best option. And SRP doesn't have the penalty that some of the other utilities have by dinging you on demand. They're just asking you just shift off peak. And if you do that, and if you can do that effectively, you can cut your bill by as much as 20 or 25% at SRP. And what we tell you, Tony, where'd you move in from?
Colorado.
Okay. So this coming summer is going to be your first Arizona summer?
No, actually, I'm sorry. I've been over here just over a year. So I had last summer, and that's kind of what freaked me out.
Okay, all right. Tony, here's the game we play. We tell people, look, find out when your time of use is, when you're being charged on peak power, and when you're being charged off peak power. You have to adjust your power consumption to maximize all of your power off peak. So what we tell people is when you hit off peak, whether you're at SRP, you're on the Easy 3 or the M-Power or the time of use, whichever plan you're on, when you go off peak, ask your air conditioner to take your house as cold as you can stand it, even in the middle of the summer. Here's an example, and many people, Tony, have to hear this 4 or 5 years before they believe me enough to try it. When they finally try it, they say, wow, it kills me to think all the money I spent not doing this. At my house, not a giant house, it's 2,600 square feet, I ask my thermostat to take my air condition inside the house to 68 degrees off peak. And then I let my house shift to as high as 78 on peak. That lets my house sleep the entire on-peak period. I consume 90% of my monthly power off peak. So my neighbor with the same size house has bills of $450, $500, and $600 July, August, and September. My bills are $200, $205, $210, and I'm consuming about 26 to 2700 total kilowatt hours every single month. So you are staggering and shifting your purchase of power to off peak. That's how you get down to 10 and 11 cents per kilowatt on your monthly bill. All right, we appreciate the call. Let's see if we can get to Michael Maricopa. We're going to change the subject up here a little bit down to Maricopa, Arizona. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, sir. And hey, thanks for what you and your family do there. Awesome work. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks, man. We enjoy doing it. We really do.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so I live here in Maricopa. My backyard looks like southern Afghanistan.
Okay.
And I want to, so it's like flat dirt. I want to start doing landscaping, maybe some grass, maybe some rock, pavers, all that kind of good stuff, maybe a gazebo. What do you suggest for prep? I mean, how deep do I need to go? What do I fill in? Do I need to put gravel? Do I need to put sand?
Yeah, it all depends what you're going to come up with a master plan. Where's the gazebo? Where's the lawn area? Where's the gravel area? Where's the garden area? Is that a raised planter garden? Is it a flat level garden? Come up with the master plan. Any place you're going to put turf, if you're going to put real turf, you're going to have to go down a good 8 to 12 inches, churn it up real good, rototill it, add a bunch of organic material and basic fertilizer, and you can either seed it or you can just roll it out in the tiff. Or I can tell you that there are a lot of people going with the artificial turf now, and we like a particular brand in particular called Easy Turf because it drains so well. One thing people forget about in the artificial turf is sanitation. If your dogs and animals like to use that area for their bathroom, you like to have a grade of turf that can easily be power washed or rinsed off, and you want to make sure it drains very well. And that's one of the reasons we like the Easy Turf product specifically. But I'll tell you, we're seeing in our master plan landscape for the homes we're remodeling, we're seeing as much artificial turf going in now as real turf, so it's something to consider. As where you're going to go with the gravel, the only thing I can tell you is never put plastic down. If you've got a blank backyard that isn't weed infested, you can probably just go down with about 2 inches of 3/4 minus decomposed granite and spot treat the weeds that come up with a Durazone.
Nice. Now, as far as the artificial turf, what about summertime? How hot will it get?
It does get hot, Romy.
But how often are you standing out on your lawn in the middle of summertime?
Yeah.
Artificial or natural?
It's hotter
than... It doesn't look like Afghanistan. I like to be out there every day.
It's hotter than TIFF, natural TIFF. But it's not as hot as cool deck or decomposed granite, you know.
Okay.
All right. And a lot of times we tell people, keep your sprinkler system where you're putting the artificial turf. It's a great way to just rinse it out and keep it clean from the birds flying overhead, from your dogs going out there and using it. You know, just turn the sprinklers on for an hour once a week and just rinse it off really good. I don't know why the high schools all went to artificial turf.
A lot of them, you'll see it switch back.
I mean, the kids are, when they first start training in the fall, in August, they're doing twice a days. All the linemen are throwing up on it. you've got bloody noses bleeding all over it the first couple games. I don't know. I don't get it. But anyway, does some of that help, Michael?
Yes, it does. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it very much.
Okay, man. Well, we appreciate you. We appreciate you reaching in and reaching us at 1-888-767-4348.
And like Mark said from Easy Turf when he was in last week, when you do your sprinklers, do it on the perimeter. If you ever have to fix that water leak, you don't have to roll up your turf to get to that water line.
Touche.
Do it on the exterior. You know, Michael, it's not a fun expense a lot of times. But this is where a landscape architect can really pay off long term.
Make it pop.
Because you can phase your landscape very easily. You can do it in projects as you can afford it or as you have time. Having that complete design you're working to will save you in the long run and as opposed to piecing it together as you go. Because you'll get to one spot and you're like, oh, I wish I did that. Or, oh, I didn't think about this. Or, oh, gosh, that was a mistake. Investing in that plan to work off of, you know, nobody likes to do it because you don't have anything to show for it yet. We all want to get started and have something to show for. We want to get started and enjoy it. We want to get started and have this. Well, have a plan, follow the plan, and a landscape architect can help you. So that would be my biggest thing is invest in the plan and over infrastructure, you know, on your water lines, on your electric. Anything that's going underground, oversize it and double it up.